Setlist, the music business podcast from CMU. This week, the European Union takes a stand against the Apple tax. Welcome to Setlist, the music business podcast from CMU. I'm Andy Malt. With me is Chris Cook. Hello, Chris.
Hello there.
As ever, we're going to be taking a look back at some of the biggest and most interesting music industry news stories of the last week. A week when we only got one of ABBA to speak at the Great Escape.
That is true. That was our big Great Escape announcement in the last week. He will be taking part in the conference. He doesn't need to be doing the showcase bit. I think we all know that he's a very good musician, performer and songwriter. We don't need to have him in the showcase element of The Great Escape, although there's lots of really great artists taking part in the showcase element of The Great Escape. But no, Bjorn Ulvaeus is going to be taking part as one of our keynote in conversations at the online Great Escape conference that is happening on the 13th and 14th of May. So the full schedule for the conference is now online. That's another thing that happened in the last 7 days. There will be two live feeds of content happening during the conference, two channels to choose from. One will have the CMU sessions and then the In Conversations being presented by TGE and CMU. And then the other channel will have the Elevate webinars in the morning and then our partner panels presented by all sorts of music industry organizations in the afternoon. In addition to the live stuff, there's also going to be some on-demand panels and webinars that you'll be able to access actually from Monday the 10th of May through the Great Escape conference platform. So we've announced all of that in the last week. Plus, yes, Bjorn Ulvaeus from ABBA will be joining us for one of our In Conversations. You are probably aware because we reported on it in the CMU Daily. So if you're not aware, what are you doing? You're clearly not reading the CMU Daily. He recently published a report called Rebalancing the Song Economy, looking at the challenges facing songwriters and the songwriting community in the digital age and presenting a number of proposed solutions of how the industry could come together and ensure that we have a strong songwriting community and that songwriters are able to carry on writing songs, composing music and participating in the music making process and make decent money in return for their efforts. Very interesting report that he wrote, and we'll be talking all about that during The Great Escape as part of our In Conversation program. So yeah, all of the information on all of that is on The Great Escape website, and if you haven't got your pass yet, well, get your pass. That's all I can say.
Yes, do that. But maybe wait until after you've listened to this episode of Setlist, because that's not what we're here to talk about. We've got something of a competition law special coming up. What doesn't sound fun about that? Later on, we'll be discussing Tencent's likely fine for alleged anti-competitive behaviour in the music streaming market. But beginning a theme, the European Commission has informed Apple that it believes it has distorted competition in the music streaming market by enforcing the mandatory use of its own payment system. This follows an investigation that was launched off the back of a complaint made by Spotify in 2019.
Which is why the European Commission's competition regulator's opinion on Apple's App Store policies is 100% music news, because this is basically part of the ongoing battle between Apple and Spotify. We've definitely talked about this before on Setlist.
We certainly have.
This all relates to the fact that if you have an iOS app, we don't. We don't have an iOS app, do we? So this doesn't really affect us. Yet, it might affect us for reasons I'll explain later. But as it currently stands, there is no CMU app, so we don't care. We don't care what Apple's rules are regarding putting apps onto the iOS system. But if you do put an app onto the iOS system, and therefore make it available to anybody that has an iPhone or an iPad or any of the Apple mobile devices, there are various rules you have to follow. And the key one is that if you take money through your app, if there's any form of transaction happening within an app, you have to use Apple's payment platform to take those payments, to deal with those transactions, whether or not they're one-off charges or they are ongoing subscription charges. And whenever a payment is made through Apple's proprietary payment system, they take 15 to 30% of the money.
Yeah, and that's an issue for Spotify because, as we know, its profit margin is about 30%. So if it were to take a subscription payment through its iPhone app, it would lose its entire profit in one go, which is why you can no longer take out a Spotify subscription through its iPhone app. And when you could, it increased its price to $12.99 a month rather than $9.99 a month to make up for that cut that Apple was taking.
But of course, although Spotify could just pass the Apple fee, or the Apple tax, as some people call it, onto the customer, first of all, it's annoying that those customers have to pay an extra £3 a month, which immediately goes to Apple. But once Apple Music was a thing, once Apple had its own rival streaming service, well, that was even a bigger problem for Spotify, because it meant that if you were to look at the pricing for an Apple Music subscription or a Spotify subscription from within the Apple ecosystem, it would look like a Spotify subscription was £3 more than an Apple subscription. And so therefore, most people would go, well, I'm going to subscribe with Apple. So although Spotify never liked the fact that there was that commission on any iOS purchases and it had to pass that commission on to its customers, it became an ever bigger problem once Apple was Spotify's main competitor in the subscription streaming space.
There's another rule that adds further to this problem, which is that obviously if someone goes to the Spotify website, they can sign up for a subscription there for $9.99, no problem at all. The issue is, if you're taking payments through your iOS app, you are not allowed to direct people to other places where they can pay for the same service. So you can't say this costs $12.99 if you pay for it here, but if you go to our website, it's cheaper. That's against the rules. And this isn't just an issue for Spotify. It affects all the music streaming services and lots of other apps too. So in gaming, the maker of Fortnite, Epic Games, has been very vocal about it and will actually be going to court with very similar complaints this week. But in music, it's Spotify that's really kicked up a fuss. And I guess partly that's because Spotify is the market leader in music streaming and Apple Music is its main competitor. So the fact that its main competitor has this advantage because it's part of Apple just annoys Spotify, really pisses it off.
And obviously, Spotify's whole business model is you have the free service over here to hook people in, and then you upsell them the paid for service over here, which is different to Apple's model. Apple doesn't do the free tier. Apple's assumption is it already has so many customers through its devices and its other services that it can try and upsell music that way. Whereas for Spotify, having the free version to upsell the premium version has been its entire business model since the start. And because of these rules, once it decided that it didn't want to pass the £3 charge on to customers because it made it look like its service was more expensive than Apple's service, you then have a system whereby if I'm a Spotify subscriber and I predominantly access Spotify through the iOS app and I'm on the free tier, it makes it much harder for Spotify to convert me into a paying customer because it can tell me the benefits of being a paying customer, but it can't give me a nice, simple way to pay. It can't have a payment button. It can't have a link that takes me to a web page on the phone. It can't even say, hey, you go to Spotify.com and sign up. So it makes it more difficult for Spotify to convert its free users into paying users, which is Spotify's primary objective as a business. So Spotify never liked this situation from as soon as it started making its service available through apps as well as on a desktop computer. And it moaned about it quietly, and then it moaned about it a little bit more loudly. And then, as you say, in 2019, it made a formal complaint to the European Commission in the EU about this issue, instigating this competition regulatory inquiry. It also launched that standalone website, didn't it? It was so angry about this, it launched a consumer-facing website basically setting out why Apple is evil and why competition regulators in Europe should step in to get rid of the Apple tax and these App Store rules.
So the big development that happened last week was that the European Commission sent Apple its statement of objections as part of this ongoing antitrust investigation. Now, a statement of objections isn't the conclusion of the investigation. It's sort of telling the company who's being accused what their current opinion is and offering them the chance to come back to them with a defence or offering to make changes or whatever that be done, either in writing or via an oral hearing. We don't know what Apple's going to do yet. But what the European Commission said in its statement is that its preliminary view is that Apple distorted competition in the music streaming market as it abused its dominant position for the distribution of music streaming apps through its App Store. It goes on. The commission takes issue with the mandatory use of Apple's own in-app purchase mechanism imposed on music streaming app developers to distribute their apps via Apple's App Store. The commission is also concerned that Apple applies certain restrictions on app developers, preventing them from informing iPhone and iPad users of alternative, cheaper purchasing possibilities. So kind of completely sided with Spotify so far, it looks like.
Yeah, a definite win for Spotify, the European company, against big bad American conglomerate Apple. For its part, Apple has been outspoken about Spotify's complaints ever since the formal filing was made back in 2019 and when that website was launched. And it has presented pretty much the same arguments at every turn in this whole debate. And indeed, when the whole Fortnite app thing kicked off and Epic Games, the maker of Fortnite, were accusing Apple of anti-competitive conduct in the US, in Australia, in the UK and elsewhere, pretty much the same defence was put forward as part of that dispute as well. And Apple has already responded to the European Commission's statement of objections, basically just saying what it has said on countless previous occasions about these allegations.
Yeah, it said, Spotify has become the largest music subscription service in the world, and we're proud of the role we played in that. Once again, they want all the benefits of the App Store, but don't think they should have to pay anything for that. The Commission's argument on Spotify's behalf is the opposite of fair competition.
Yeah, so Apple's position basically is, it has spent an awful lot of money over the years building the iOS ecosystem and the payment tools within the apps. Because of that investment in that technology, that opened up opportunities to companies like Spotify, who could make their music services available in a really compelling way via mobile devices. And obviously, we know that it was the rise of smartphones that really helped the subscription streaming market take off. And so they're basically saying, without our technology, you wouldn't have a decent service. We spent an awful lot of money building that technology. The least you can do is pay your way. We only want payment when you take a transaction. We're not charging you to use our ecosystem when you have the free service. So you should just pay your way. Stop being stingy. Shut up with your moaning. Paraphrasing slightly, but that is basically what Apple has said at every turn in this debate. And indeed, that's pretty much what they said in response to the European Commission's statement.
Yeah, and perhaps in Apple's defence, I mean, I did say that the fee is 30%. Well, that's for the first year. It does drop to 15% after a year, which is still a significant cut. Although, I mean, if you use any payment system, there's going to be a cut somewhere along the line. So maybe that's an argument Apple could use or possibly will use. I mean, they're certainly going to continue to be very bullish on this, as you can see from that statement. But they're not the only ones giving statements. Daniel Ek, CEO of Spotify, took a little bit of time off his efforts to buy Arsenal Football Club last week to tweet, "Today is a big day. Fairness is the key to competition. With the EU Commission's statement of objections, we are one step closer to creating a level playing field, which is so important for the entire ecosystem of European developers."
Yeah, the entire ecosystem of European developers, Daniel Ek says he is standing up for in this debate. And it has to be said that another of his competitors, another European-based competitor rather than a big bad American conglomerate, has also welcomed this, that being Deezer.
Yeah, its chief content and strategy officer, Alexander Holland, said in a statement, "We applaud the Commission's findings today. It's an important step towards a fair competitive landscape where dominant market players like Apple have to compete with independent companies like Deezer on quality of service, innovation and consumer experience, rather than artificially created barriers and a lack of a level playing field. We work closely with Apple, and Deezer is one of the many entertainment companies that help Apple's ecosystem with its diversity and consumer choice. Hopefully, today's statement is the first step on a road towards a better competitive landscape for digital services. Consumers benefit from fair competition through better and more diverse offers, features, and content. While this is only the first step on a longer journey, we are happy that the Commission is acting in the interests of healthy European competition." Now, I suppose in that, Apple might argue that quality of service, innovation and consumer experience is what they offer through their App Store experience. So it's interesting that Deezer is sort of flipping Apple's argument back against it, saying that it's the developers who make the App Store good rather than the App Store being what's good for the developers.
Also interesting that Deezer's statement was so much longer than Daniel Ek's statement, although we should stress, actually, all of this has happened not long before we recorded this podcast, and we are actually still awaiting Spotify's official response, which we suspect will be a little bit longer than Daniel Ek's tweet.
Well, given last time it was an entire website.
Maybe we'll get a movie this time, or maybe they'll...
A podcast, at least.
Team up with Fortnite. Maybe we'll get a whole gaming experience to remind us just how evil Apple is. You mentioned podcasts, and actually, it's quite interestingly timed, this announcement for the European Commission, when we were expecting this statement of objections around about now, but it comes just days after both Apple and Spotify announced upgrades of their respective podcast platforms, basically making it easier for podcasters to monetize their content, which is why the Apple tax could start to affect us here at CMU as a podcast producer, because it seems that obviously Spotify and Apple now are big competitors in the podcast arena as well as in the music space. And you kind of sense that both Apple and Spotify reckon that the way to win the battle to be the dominant player in the podcast business is to make it easier for podcasters to make money, which would be nice, wouldn't it? Because it's not easy.
It'd be lovely.
Making money from podcasts. So if you look at how podcasters make money, I mean, actually, lots of podcasters don't, either because they just do it for fun or, like us, it's just one element of something else. But those podcasters who have tried to make a sort of an actual business out of their podcast content, well, originally tended to go more down the advertising route. So whether that's product placement and advertorial actually within the podcast, or some of the podcast distribution companies will stick ads on the start of podcasts. That sometimes happens with set lists, doesn't it? A little ad appears at the start.
Yeah, and the middle and the end. Do listen to them.
So a lot of podcasters went that route, but then actually, because you don't actually make much money from those ads, and the advertorial can be annoying, and for some podcasters, it just feels wrong. I mean, we talked about how if we were to do advertorial within Setlist and you had to read the script, you would not be able to read it without it sounding really sarcastic. And as if we were mocking whichever company had decided to give us some money. So quite a lot of podcasters in more recent years have gone for either the donations route or the subscription route or the give us some money to access some extra content route. So quite a lot of podcasters have tried to generate some revenue around their content by going that route. But generally, in order to do that, you have to set something up. For example, maybe on a platform like Patreon, or you just set up your own website with PayPal or Stripe. So the podcast still goes out for free on all the podcast apps, and then you try and persuade people to go to a website, go to a Patreon page, and then to sign up to some scheme, pay some money every month, and then, well, sometimes it's just that you get the warm glow of supporting the podcast. Other times they make some extra content available behind a paywall, or maybe you get a name check in the podcast or something like that. But the key point there is that for the podcaster to get a subscriber or donations, the listener has to shut down the podcast app and go somewhere else. And so it would be nice if you could make it easier for people to sign up and make donations within whatever app they are listening to the podcast in. And so that's what Apple Podcasts is going to start adding as of this month. So podcasters will be able, within the Apple Podcasts app, to have a button right next to the podcast, offering some sort of premium content. It's up to the podcaster what that premium content is. It's up to the podcaster how much that costs. But you can press a button, pay some money through the Apple system. They will take their 15 to 30% of that money, but it makes it easier for podcasters to monetize what they do and to give their premium subscribers some extra content. Spotify has also added some monetization tools to its podcast platform, mainly through the Anchor service, which it has, which is a sort of a podcast creation and distribution service that Spotify bought. But while under this new system that Spotify is launching, you will be able to put premium locked content within the Spotify app that your subscribers will be able to unlock and then listen to within Spotify, listeners won't actually be able to subscribe to a podcast premium package through the Spotify app, because obviously, if they did, and if it was the iOS version of their app, yet again, Apple will be grabbing 15 to 30% of the money. So it's another way in which the whole Apple tax rule is hindering Spotify. Not only is it now hindering Spotify's own subscriptions, but it does mean that its podcast monetization solution isn't quite as compelling as Apple's podcast monetization solution, because the messaging for how you would sign up to become a premium subscriber for podcasts through Spotify is a little bit more messy than see that button in the app next to our podcast, press it, and give us some money. So this whole thing is also affecting the podcast side of Apple and Spotify's businesses, as well as the music side.
Yeah, and I suppose none of this would be such a big issue if Apple hadn't just stuck to being a hardware and software company rather than moving more and more into services, which means that increasingly it does also compete with the companies that it's selling its platform to. And as we've seen with Spotify and with Fortnite, that breeds conflict. And where Apple would say, there is no conflict, it's fine, we're providing a service, they have to pay for it, the fact that it does mean that Apple Music is easier to pay for and possibly looks cheaper than another streaming service, or that it's much easier to pay to subscribe to a podcast through Apple's podcast app than Spotify's, is possibly going to be more difficult for Apple to talk its way out of with the European Commission. But we'll see. As we say, this investigation is not yet over, and Apple still has a chance to formally respond to the European Commission's statement of objections. So it'll be interesting to watch both what happens now in the European Union with this, and also this trial between Apple and Epic Games in the US.
And we will almost certainly be returning to this at some point on a future edition of Setlist. Although you never know, maybe we'll set up a premium version and we'll only cover this story for our premium subscribers. It could happen, but not on Spotify, because their monetization is not as good because of the Apple tax.
And finally, we promised you a competition law special, and boy, are we going to give it to you, because we've had European competition law. Now we're moving on to Chinese competition law, because Chinese web giant Tencent is looking likely to be the next target of Chinese government regulators who are cracking down on anti-competitive behaviour in the country's tech sector. So the rival company Alibaba was recently fined $2.75 billion for abusing its market dominance in China. And last week, sources told Reuters that Tencent is now facing a slightly lower but still significant fine and may even have to sell off a couple of its music streaming apps.
Yeah, so it has to be said that the Chinese government has generally been pretty light touch in the way that it regulates the big internet companies in China, like Alibaba, like Tencent. But an agency called the State Administration of Market Regulation has been scrutinizing what's going on in that sector a lot more rigorously of late, which is why we had that recent fine for Alibaba. And Reuters sources reckon that, yes, although the potential fine for Tencent, which is also accused of breaching various competition rules and competition laws in China, although they won't have to pay out $2.75 billion, well, obviously, they're paying it in the Chinese currency, but it equates to $2.75 billion. It's thought that Tencent's fine would be a mere $1.54 billion.
So not the sort of money you'd find down the back of the sofa, or maybe stuffed between two streaming services, given that, as we've discussed before, Tencent owns a few streaming services. But it's accused of not properly reporting past acquisitions and investments for antitrust reviews and anti-competitive practices in some of its businesses.
Yeah, and that includes its music businesses. So that makes this a particularly interesting story from a music perspective. So obviously Tencent, through its Tencent Music Entertainment Company, is the biggest player in digital music in China and has been for some time. It's not the first time, actually, although I said that the authorities in China have generally been a bit light touch when it comes to the internet sector in that country. This isn't actually the first time that some concerns have been expressed about the way Tencent has organized its music business from a competition perspective. When music streaming first started to take off in China, Tencent actually did exclusivity deals with quite a lot of music companies, including global record companies, like the majors. And so what those exclusivity deals meant was that not only was Tencent getting access to all those music companies' catalogues, just like any other streaming service would, it also became the exclusive distributor of those catalogues within the Chinese market. which we always used to say. That could only happen in China. It couldn't happen anywhere else in the world, because as a result of that, if you're another streaming service in China, so let's say you're NetEase Cloud Music, the main competitor to the Tencent Music Services in China, now to access the major's catalog, you've got to go to your competitor to get a licensing deal, which is a really odd situation. So that would never have happened anywhere else in the world, pretty much. And as I say, even in China, a couple of years ago, the competition regulator there started to question these deals, to the extent, actually, that as those deals have come up for renewal, the exclusivity is often dropping out. And so some music companies that used to work exclusively with Tencent in China do actually now have direct deals, certainly with NetEase. So we are starting to see an end of those exclusivity deals, although some of them are still in place. And what we're hearing from these sources who have spoken to Reuters is that Tencent Music's operations remain a concern for the regulator. So it may well be that as well as being fined a load of money, they may be ordered to end all exclusive music distribution deals that they still have. Plus, as you alluded to, Tencent actually runs three, arguably four, separate music services in China, because it has QQ Music, which was the service it originally set up. But then it also acquired a few years ago two other services, which is Kuwo and Kugo. So it operates those three services, as well as a very successful karaoke app called WeSing. And so the other rumour that's going around, the sources speaking to Reuters, is that another outcome of this crackdown on anti-competitive behaviour in China could be, not only might Tencent be fined, not only might they be forced to give up any exclusive music rights they still have in the country, they might be forced to sell on two of those music apps.
Reuters sources also confirmed that Tencent is busy lobbying for more lenient sanctions from the regulator, although apparently the company's top priority is ensuring that government officials don't seek to interfere in the operations of its core businesses, that being gaming and the WeChat messaging app. And it would even accept a higher fine if those regulators could be convinced to leave those bits of the business alone.
Yeah, certainly the sources seem to be suggesting that, although obviously from a CMU perspective, we're most interested in Tencent's music company and also, of course, the investments it's been making in music companies elsewhere in the world, like Universal Music and Warner Music. It also has some equity in Spotify. But within China itself, the gaming side and then the massive phenomenon that is WeChat within China are the bits of the business they are most keen to protect. So seems to be, in terms of writing a check for a fine, they're certainly willing to negotiate on that. And maybe if push comes to shove, they're more interested in protecting the gaming side and the WeChat side than they are to keeping hold of the entirety of the Tencent music entertainment business. But we'll see what happens as the talks between the regulator and Tencent proceed.
That's all we've got time for on this edition of Setlist, though. So now we've finished, you can go and buy your Great Escape Delegate Pass. I'll put a link in the show notes to make that super easy for you. And you won't even have to pay Apple a cut. More important, we won't have to pay Apple a cut of any money you spend on that. But do also remember to rate and review and share the show with your friends. Email us if you've got anything to tell us. setlist@unlimitedmedia.co.uk. Setlist is the music business podcast from CMU. It's presented by Andy Malt and Chris Cook. And for more on CMU, go to completemusicupdate.com.